Yeah, so
I just
welcome.
want to say hi to Andrea as well, because we were on an
Oh,
overlap.
okay. Yeah, welcome to the Iceland Unveiled. It's a playoff if you've read Madame Blavatsky's work, major work, Isis Unveiled. But anyways, maybe there's some resonance there to the esoteric. And yeah, the goal of today's session is to introduce people to the beauty of Iceland. Also maybe to learn a little bit about power spots. And then specifically if you're interested in the tour that we're having in the summer to Iceland, people can learn more about the specifics and also ask any questions about that. And Gudrun Bergman or Runa Bergman, our spiritual tour guide for the tour, is here. And she'll be soon talking about the tour itself and the different power spots there. And then I'll talk a little bit more about after that some of the training that we had planned to do there with transmissions and particularly the shamanic healing practice of soul retrieval. But I did want to show maybe one or two slides before Gundren or Runa talks about some of the specifics and a little bit of the inspiration for having the tour. Some people here actually went on the Iceland trip last year. You see Andrea and Natasha, and some people here are already signed up for the trip. And then just knowing the registration, I think there's a number of people who I think wanted to are probably going to listen to the recording. But we had a great time last year. The tour is not the same as last year, as we're trying to do a complimentary sort of location. And one of the fascinating things here, I'll see if I can share my screen that I found. Let's see, I put together a couple slides so that people could see this visually. Let me see. Okay, here. And Runa can probably speak more to this. Are people able to see this map? Yeah. Okay. Is some of the energetics of why Iceland is so powerful. Of course, there's many power spots, but for me, it was this fascinating aspect of these two tectonic plates, and you can see it basically, slices down right through the island. Of course, islands are very powerful, particularly when it's this large. And of course, there's Australia, there's Hawaii, and people may feel some resonance just because of this sort of island matrix or template. But these two tectonic plates that are meeting here in this mid-Atlantic ridge. So you have the Eurasian plate, which is more on the west side, meeting sort of the mid-Atlantic ridge here. And then in this next slide, you can actually see this is Thingvellir. You can actually, it comes up to the surface. So that's very powerful in terms of sort of these telluric energies being very present. And a lot of the tour is geared around connecting to those energies and also to the spirits, looking at it from a shamanic point of view, or that everything is conscious to the spirits of the land and really as a blessing for the land. And then, of course, since we're all interconnected, or land is interconnected out onto the planet, and of course, even beyond the planet, as we're part of a even larger galactic ecosystem. And then finally, like I mentioned, this tour, and then maybe we can shift to Aruna's presentation. This tour was inspired by last year's tour, particularly Aruna mentioned, this location here.
How long my change is that?
And Aruna, maybe you can help me with the pronunciation of the central location. Is it Hofjökull?
It's Hofsjökull, yes.
Yeah,
It's
okay.
Hof, yeah. It's easier to say just Hof because, and it means temple. So
Okay.
To the settlers, this was an extremely sacred place, and basically in the center of the country. And that's where we'll start our journey, basically. Do you want me to go ahead and continue? I didn't prepare any slides.
Oh, no, we didn't have to just, yeah, why don't you go? I'll just say the last thing. Yeah, so Ruta told me about this site, and we thought about doing it right on the solstice. So yeah, so that's the, you know, one of the main inspirations for the tour. So maybe we'll just transition. I can keep this slide on for a little bit. This is my kind of last presentation slide. Then we have something for the transmission. But yeah, go ahead, and then I'll take this off so we can just talk freely.
This is great. This is great. It's a great starting point. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why we discussed this, you know, of course, Gene and I didn't know each other before he arrived with the group last year. So working with him, you know, helped me realize what else we could do. And at the end of the tour last year, he was interested in visiting more sacred sites in the country. And Iceland was inhabited or settled by people from Norway, basically 80% or a little more than 80% of the DNA in men is from Norway, basically, or the Norse countries, which could also be a little bit from Denmark and Sweden, but mostly from Norway. And 76% is in the DNA of women is Celtic, because the Vikings, they raided the islands north of Scotland and Ireland. And between 900 and 1,000, which was, you know, part of the settlement and or time when Iceland has basically almost been completely settled by the people who started out here, Dublin in Ireland was a Viking town, and it was a huge trading center, which is something I'll go into to tell you more about on the tour. But when these people came to Iceland, there weren't any place names. So they basically decided on all the names that are in Iceland now. And so they choose to call this glacier Hofsjökull. And all of these people were more or less shamanic or very intuitive, because they had dreams about why they should go to Iceland, where they should settle, why it was a good place for them, and different other things. And they name it Hofsjökull. And Hof was basically the prayer place or the temples of the pagan people. So it's an incredibly powerful center as such. And Hofsjökull is the crown chakra of the country, and it's connected, as you see, there are two lines there. It's connected to the Giza pyramids. And this was discovered by a man named Adam Rutherford, who was English. And he wrote a book about this called the, what's the name in English? It's basically about the light that would shine from Iceland. And it's published in pre-World War II, because he had been working in Egypt on excavations by the pyramid. And they discovered this Iceland line there, and it runs through Iona, which is an island off the west coast of Scotland, where it's considered the birthplace of Christianity. And in recent years, there's been talk about this being connected to ISIS as well. So we have a lot of things to do as such. In recent times, you know, it's almost been in a way like Hofsjökull has been sleeping as a center. And so what I have received since we started discussing this tour is information that we are supposed to, this is kind of like the main Icelandic part of the trip, is we're supposed to start at Hofsjökull to awaken the energy in the glacier. And in recent months and years, there's been talk about a lot of dragon energy around the glacier. So we need to awaken that energy. I've been working with a man called Rory Duff, and Rory is a biogeologist. I think it's called that. Yeah, biogeologist. Anyway, he does biology and geology. And he measures ley lines all over the world. And he's been very interested in the ley lines in Iceland recently because so many of them have dragon energy in them. Among them, the one that runs through, you see like the little boot on the lowest part on the, I would say the left side of the picture, which is the west. That's where the major eruptions have been recently. And they're they're on a dragon line. So there's a lot of dragon energy being released, and we need that to be kind of in this transformational period that we're going through. The other interesting thing, which I want to point out, although we will not be going there on this tour, is that if you take the line from Hofsjökull, and you see the one crossing Vatnajökull and then Hofsjökull, and if you go up to the West Fjords from there, Rory told me that he had had discovered a dragon energy there, and but he had, you know, he didn't think there was anything there. And then I told him about this woman who has been experiencing dragons in Hofsjökull since she was a little girl. And also that she had discovered under the ocean a Lemurian temple just off the, what we call the head of Iceland, which is kind of like the north, the West Fjords, in a direct line from Hofsjökull. So there are more energy points and energy centers than the ones we'll go through. But the other reason for Hofsjökull, and you know, this is plus what Jean's going to be doing with you, or we're all going to be doing together, basically, is that there are four guardian spirits of Iceland. And for the east is the dragon. For the south is the giant. And for the east is the bull. And for the north is the eagle. Now, the dragon can be really scary, and I've interpreted it as we need to face our fears, but we need to also awaken the dragon by slaying the fears inside ourselves. And the reason why we know this, and this is from pagan times, is that at one point, probably around 900 and something, there was a Norwegian king called Grimur, and he wanted to go to conquer Iceland. But before he would set out to sail to Iceland, he wanted to have things checked out. You know, what's this country like? So he called for the help of a Sami shaman, and the Samis, they live in the northernmost part of Norway, and are considered to be very intuitive. And so this Sami, he came and he shape-shifted into a seal, and he swam up to Iceland and circled the country. And when he came back, he told the king not to go invade this country because it was heavily guarded by the dragon in the east, the giant in the south, the bull in the west, and the eagle in the north. So it's the spirit, it's the abundance, it's the plenty. And it's interesting that the area from, you know, see, there's a huge bay there on the west side of the country. There are actually two, but the one that's further north has more than 1,100 islands. And there's always been so much plenty of food there. Birds, seals, walruses, fish, everything. And that's where the bull comes out. You know, he's the one that has the abundance. And we're waking all this up because we need to connect. You know, we start with Hofsjökull to wake up the energy lines there, or the energy there, and then we'll go south. and then we'll go east, and we'll do this anti-clockwise. We will also, you see how the upper line that comes out from Hovsjökull to the northeast of the country, we will also go there because it's been kind of an abandoned area in Iceland. Very few people live up there. There's a lot of hardship living up there because it's a tough area. And there is a an Arctic, I don't know what they call it in English. Do you remember the name, Jean?
What was the name of the...
The structure or the circle that they're building there, it's kind of half made.
But if people want, I put the tour itinerary in that link. Let me see. Yeah. I have it here in the... Yeah, go ahead. Maybe it's called Borgarfjörður. I'll put it in the chat. Arctic Henge.
Yeah, the Arctic Henge. Yeah. So that, and you know, that spot definitely needs to be regenerated or something, because it's kind of, it's there, it's important, but it's kind of dead. So we need to wake up the energy and the energy line there and run it through. And then we'll go to the north where the eagle, you know, focus on the mountain where the eagle comes from. And then we'll head to the west and then kind of complete the circle and connect all of this to Hofsjökull, the lines. Okay, what are we having? A call?
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. Anyway, I'm kind of lost now where I'm at. Anyway, did I lose everyone here?
Oh, no, you're still there.
I'm still there. Okay. I'm not seeing the, I don't know what to, okay, let's see if I'll see everyone. No, this is kind of, I have a very small screen. Show sharing view, let's see what happens. Anyway, I'm still here, so I'll keep talking. I don't see okay, I do now, sorry. So the message that has come to me is that galactic beings who want to come to Earth, they're going to need a landing place. And in the interior, very few people live. There is the hotel we'll be staying at. There is another kind of station in the middle of the interior, which is, I mean, we're talking about an altitude of 700-800 meters or more up there. And so there's going to be need for a landing space. And the line that connects to the pyramids in Egypt were, according to the latest research and, you know, considered by many, landing signs. You know, how do you land in a country, in a, you know, on a country like, in a country like a ours or on Earth, sorry. And so this is the kind of I'm sorry, I'm still trying to focus on how to see everyone in the meeting, but that's okay. It doesn't make any difference. Now I'm out, I think.
Is it better now? I took the slides off.
No, it's okay. It's just, I'm not seeing anything now. I don't know. I just have a Zoom sign. Anyway, I'm here. If you can hear me, that's fine.
Oh,
but
yeah,
our
very good.
Mission is to do this, to connect these lines, to reawaken the dragon energy or the energy in the dragon lines in the country. As to eruptions, many people asked, you know, were fearful because the Icelandic government announced a state of emergency here in Iceland, but basically it was only a state of emergency in a certain town in the southwest. Of course, people did have to evacuate the town because the earth was opening up and, you know, a new earth was being formed basically by the lava. And so I'm just wondering why I don't see myself, but I'm still on anyway. So, are you hearing me?
Oh yeah, I'll try to get you so that you can see.
It's okay. Anyway, so state of emergency only applied basically to the area around Grindavík, but of course Grindavík is situated close to the international airport. So any if it would have been ash that came out of the crater, it would have been not so good for airplanes. But as it is now, it's just lava that keeps pouring out of the earth. And so it's kind of like the dragon's breath as such that is coming out there. And Icelanders' view on eruptions is a little bit different from probably everyone else's, because I can tell you, my mother, for example, if there was an eruption anywhere in Iceland, her first reaction was, "Oh, let's go see it." So people, flock out to see it. So we don't see it as something really dangerous. We know we're not supposed to get close or anything, but we're more like into seeing it as an attraction that we want to be part of. So I think, like for example, once she was on a tour with the with one an Icelandic travel agency on a bus tour around Iceland, and they were in the south of Iceland, and there was a scheduled tour, of course, and it started erupting in the north of Iceland, and everyone decided that it was much greater to go see the eruption there than to continue the tour. So, which that's what they did. So we're not afraid as such. We're just part of the. It's just part of the country. So we can, of course, expect anything now after the total eclipse of the sun yesterday, but we'll just stay prepared and we'll just calm the energy and the area wherever we travel. I think we're going to be safe. We have an important mission, so we're going to be protected. Am I still on?
Oh yeah, you're still on. Yeah.
Because I don't see
Yeah.
anything. I don't see a picture or anything.
Okay.
It's
Now
kind of
you're.
fun talking to the Zoom sign. Anyway, so I think this is kind of the basic thing. That's why I was guided to schedule the tours or the tour, create a tour schedule like this. And then when you come to Iceland, of course, there are many more places to see and visit. So I've added in notable places of interest, which are more kind of like landscape type and such. And people love the Glacier Lake in the south. So that was added in. And if you come there, you definitely want to go out and sail among the icebergs, or you can watch them from the I think we included that in the tour, or it's also beautiful to watch it from land. So you kind of sail around the iceberg that have calved from the glacier that you're then looking at, which is Vatnajökull, which is the biggest glacier in Europe, definitely. So any questions? We'll be stopping at some of the places that we stopped at. On last year's tour, namely, we will go to Ausbyrgi, which is in the north. Ausbyrgi means the shelter of the pagan gods, and there's a huge kind of valley with surrounded by a rock wall that is formed like a hoof print, and it's supposed to have been the place where Odin's horse Sleipnir pressed down his foot to fly between dimensions. And then we will probably visit Dettifoss as well, and definitely Akureyri, but we only stop for kind of a half a day there. So we're not focused on so much on the towns and such, but more on the different places in the countryside. And you'll get to experience the hot water sources in Iceland, which are wonderful because we have a lot of geothermal water. And then we go back when we head back around the northwest part of the country and down south again, we will head for Þingvellir and do a special ceremony there. That's where the Rift Valley is that that Jean showed you a picture of. So I think that kind of covers it, don't you think, Jean?
Oh yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe we could take questions here now for what Runa said, just since we're kind of at the moment, and then I can talk a little bit about like how we'll do some of this and the energy work that Runa was saying to reawaken these places. But did anyone have any questions for Runa, or maybe we'll go to Gina? And this is Ausbergi, the Odin's hoof on my background.
Okay, great. Yeah, so your picture. As I say, I can't see a thing, so I don't know what's it's
Big
very
fish.
strange. It's
Are you...
just a couple questions. So one, just interesting how you said that the place in the middle, Hofsjökull.
Yeah.
I was recently the other day flying on United Airlines, and in their magazine in the airplane, they had a full page about that.
Wow.
And so it's like, yes, it is getting some attention.
Yeah.
But more practically for the trip, and I don't know if this is the time to talk about it, but just things to be aware of in terms of clothing that we should bring and footwear and that kind of stuff, you know, and I assume like day packs and that kind of thing. So I don't.
We don't need a lot of day packs as such, except, you know, we always tend to dress more than less. So in layers, and the weather can be very changeable, but we're in the peak of the summer. So we're going to have 24-hour daylight. And so I always suggest kind of like hiking boots or, you know, running shoes that have a kind of coarse sole so that it's good to walk in, because this is going to be not an even surface we're walking on in most places. In some areas there'll be hiking trails, but in others not. So it's good to have that. It's good to have layers, and you know, even though you have, if you have like a good relatively warm trousers, then bring along a long johns or something like that, because when we're in the interior, there is it can be windy, and just the chill factor from the wind can kind of, you know, make you feel uncomfortable. So I would wear trousers that are windproof so that it's more comfortable. I'm the type who gets easily very cold. And so if you have layers, you're going to be good.
Thank you.
So in your day pack, you can pack a fleece jacket or something that you can take off on the bus and then put on when you go outside.
Perfect. Thanks.
Did you have another question, Gina?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Thank
Okay.
you. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rebecca?
Hi, I was
Hey.
wondering about the elves and the dwarves that you mentioned in the write-up. So, anything to let us know about that? Meeting them?
I visit some areas where there is kind of physical proof of their existence, and then of course they are in various places that we'll be traveling through. So that, like us, they have different places to dwell in. So it's a little bit like their own towns as such. So we'll stop at these places. We do not necessarily climb the mountains or the hills as such, but we can be in a position where we can connect with them. And they'll respond. They're so grateful to be acknowledged and honored. This is something that was brought, you know, people bring their belief system or their experience of nature. They bring it with them when they move. So in Ireland, you had the Pixies. And so a lot of people came from Ireland and settled here because a normal family would have perhaps 200 slaves. That was the way everything was powered back in those days, through slaves. And so the men would have children with the slave women. So that's the mix between the Norse and the Celtic in Iceland. And the Samis also had stories of people who lived in the mountains and such. Those stories followed to Iceland. So we have, through the years, always acknowledged that there are beings on other dimensions that we don't see regularly. And there are so many stories about the connection between humans and the elves and their full size. We call them the hidden people. So they're pretty much human size. And I always say that if you've seen when in the first what was it is the name of the Tolkien movie, the one Peter Jackson made.
Lord
I
of the
don't remember.
Rings? Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. In the first Lord of the Rings movie, he shows they go to Rivendell where the elves live, and he shows the elves as like etherical, like that, you know, they're on a different vibration, so they're not as kind of solid as we are. And that's the way we experience them here and have always done. And there are certain sites where you don't build houses or you don't remove that hill or anything because it's an elf dwelling. And we had an experience of that right in one of the major towns in the greater capital area while visiting last year for the group. That was quite a beginning of the tour. And it's interesting that I used to live next door to it, and I just very recently moved from there. And before I moved, I don't know how to explain it in any other way, but I had kind of two weights that I was lifting on a regular basis, and one of them disappeared, and I could not find it in the house wherever I looked. So I guess they borrowed it. But they also helped my cousin who owned the house. They helped her sell it like this. So they're there.
Rune, that's great. That's wonderful. I know specifically we're going to this the Elves of Akuri Botanical Garden.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And that is really wonderful. And the lady who's going to be leading the tour, she's quite special. So you're going to have a great experience there.
That's
I
great.
was wondering if there was, I don't even know how to phrase the question, but I'm making a correlation between the elves, the dwarves, and the ley lines. They're very helpful.
Yeah, there are like it's almost like they're elemental beings because we do have dwarves too. And when you read the Edda, the book of the pagan mythology, they talk about the humans, they talk about the giants, they talk about the elves, they talk about the dwarves. The dwarves were the goldsmiths and the you know, they also made jewelry, but they also made knives and swords and stuff. So there's this variety of, so maybe it's kind of like because there were beings from other planets at that time on Earth, I don't know, or at the because it the Edda, the Norse mythology, it originates in the Middle East, what we now call the Middle East. And some theories say that the people who moved to Iceland were the lost tribe of the Jews, the Benjaminites, because about 40% of the people who lived here were, or when they moved here, were family connected or family related. And we have a book of settlement which kind of accounted for the families and how many slaves, of course, not the names or anything of the slaves because they were unimportant as such at that time. But we have the names of the at least the man of the household, and sometimes the wife or the woman, and but not the other. Yeah, I lost my thread. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's good.
I think we this is like people, you know, we were so isolated up here in the Middle Ages, and people had nothing, or even at settlement time, you had nothing to rely on except dreams and intuitive feelings. And one of the mountains we visited last year was Mount Helgafell, and it's memorable to everyone who was on the tour because it was so windy, it was hard to get to the top of it, although it's only about 150 meters high or something. And when there was a family that had settled in that area, and he worshipped Thor, the thunder god. And of course, he went out to sea with his men because that's where they got the food from. And then the boat didn't come back. And then 2 nights later, his wife has a dream. And in the dream, her husband and the entire crew is in the mountain, Helgafell, which means a holy mountain. And they're surrounded by light. So she decides that this is a sign that they have, you know, the boat must have capsized or they drowned. So we didn't have anything to rely on. There was no radio, no nothing up until basically World War II. So we're very, very isolated here. And so we needed to be really in touch with nature because your life depended on it to decide whether you should go across the mountain in this weather or that weather, or, you know, or out to sea. So we our wars have always been with the element and not with the other countries, except we were at a cod war over our fishing limits in with the British in the 1970s. That's it. We're just kind of like, and but this is disappearing now because people do not know how to listen to the earth anymore or the elements. So we're waking, we need to wake that up here and kind of bring the energy up to the surface so that people will be more aware of it.
That's wonderful. Yeah, but I think I put the Helgafell background.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. As I say, I don't see a thing. So I'm just,
Okay.
this is the most interesting Zoom call I've been on.
Yes, we're telepathic here. But
Yeah.
any other questions that anyone wanted to ask about Taruna right now, or on anything she mentioned, or if you read the itinerary, if there was any power spots that, if not, maybe I'll just say a couple of words about, you know, how we'll complement and do some of this activation work. A lot of people here have done, you know, these transmission based and meditation, pillar of light based meditations, and we'll be, of course, doing that there. And various ceremonies that will probably be downloaded as we're, you know, moving around there, connecting to the elves, the dwarves, and just our own person, my own personal experience last year when people there had a great connection with the dwarves, the elves, the trolls, you know, all the guardians of the land that Runa was mentioning. And so we'll be doing that, and we'll do a short little version of that, and we can kind of project into one of these beautiful locations as an energy technique. So you can kind of do work with power spots by distance. You know, you can put your basically astral body in those locations and really do the same thing you would do physically there. So we'll kind of try that out towards the end here as a technique. But of course, when your physical body is there, then you have the, you know, that dimension, the physical dimension connection, but you can always do this multidimensionally. And then the other pieces, we'll have probably four or more sessions prior to the trip. So people for this training portion where we'll do, and that will be, you know, advertised or released soon. just to get ready. So we're not, because we're very mobile on the trip, but we'll be doing a lot of shamanic journeying as a way to, a technique besides the meditations to connect with the different spirits. Of course, here that Runa beautifully kind of presented the spirits of the land, the guardians that we mentioned here, the dragon, giant, bull, and eagle. And then also what Runa was mentioning, and I was mentioning in the beginning, this sort of very palpable connection to the five elements. And so in my training with the shamanism, they were seen as spirits that you could work with to do healing. So we'll use journeying as one of the main techniques, shamanic journeying, where you use a kind of percussion, some kind of drumming to alter your consciousness, and then consciously connect to these other dimensional states. So that's like a second component besides the transmissions and meditations that we'll do. And then the third is actually a fairly, usually an in-depth training in what's called soul retrieval. And so if you were interested in, I know a lot of people here are healers or healing practitioners or interested in healing. So soul retrieval, kind of in a nutshell, the idea is that if people experience any type of trauma, it could be anything as light as, someone kind of jokingly kind of hides behind a corner and, goes boo, like your siblings when you were kids, or maybe like yesterday. I'm just playing. But you can actually have a little bit of soul loss there to, of course, major traumas, war and so forth, major life traumas. And what happens is a little part of your, or some part, major part of what's called in shamanism, your soul energy, which is like your consciousness and energy, kind of gets sequestered in some a dimension. It's actually a form of protection. But it's if we use the computer analogy, which is very nice, it's a little bit like some of your CPU gets shut off and put into somewhere in cyberspace. It's actually a fairly good analogy, and therefore your computer, it's still got the frame, you still got your body, you still got the screen. Maybe even the screen's not working as well, but everything's slowed down. Like something's kind of offline. And maybe you've met someone, or maybe you've experienced it yourself. Kind of, if you have this soul loss, it's a little bit like a part of you is not there anymore. So you're not completely there if you've met someone who may have experienced that. So it's a very compassionate way to help people, help yourself. And for some people where that trauma occurred very early, they could actually adjust so much that, you get so used to your computer running at 30%, when in fact it could run at 170% more power. But if you run your computer now for 30% for 20 years, you're used to a 30% CPU computer. And the same with the person who may have lost a big part of their soul energy. And so like when you, as a practitioner learning this technique, you're able to journey, find that soul energy for your client or patient, bring it back to them, then there's another half of the healing, which is actually how does a person integrate that? Because now you have 100% CPU metaphorically, and you now you can probably download and see all types of things you couldn't see before on your computer. Same with your consciousness, and it takes some time to integrate that. So there's a big portion also, probably half of soul retrieval healing is how do you help someone integrate that? Maybe there's one or two dedicated sessions or more to integrating that, retrieval of the soul. So we'll start that with these sessions beforehand, before we actually land in Iceland, and we'll continue that there. So I think that'll be a really positive aspect that will come from the trip that you can continue to use for yourself, your loved ones, and if you kind of do help people either professionally or just kind of in a sort of your own personal way, it's a very healing, compassionate way to help people. All right, any we can probably move to this meditation transmission. I'll just explain it. But any questions on any of that we covered? The journey, the training portion.
I just want to say that before we actually, I now I can see all of you, which is nice again. So Mercury is retrograde. Everything goes haywire with computers and stuff. Anyway, I suggest that, you know, I can put together a clothing list before you go, and everyone has to remember to bring swimsuits. You know, we can rent the towels, but we need to have swimsuits so we can dip into every geothermal pool that is in our wake, so to speak. So it's not going to be that, the Blue Lagoon that we're going to go to the Forest Lagoon and near Akureyri. Blue Lagoon is still closed at the moment because
Oh,
of
really?
The you know, by the time you arrive, it might be open again. So we don't know, you know, how the eclipse will affect Iceland in terms of earthquakes. We're used to them on a regular basis. If you would tune into the meteorology office website, you'd see that there are small quakes basically every day, so to speak. We don't feel them. They have to be at a magnitude of 3 or 3.5 for us to feel them. But we just, you know, we live on this land. That's why the energy is so powerful, because there's always something being emitted. And that's, and we like to live close to energy spots. It's a little bit like Hawaii. I don't think you have anyone here now from Hawaii, but the Hawaiian people who were on the tour last year were pretty easy with the energy. So it's just like it is, you know, unless you step onto a crater and it starts erupting as you're standing there, which is unlikely. We're not going to be in such areas. So you're going to be safe.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of people. I don't know if they're directly from Hawaii, but definitely people who have a very strong connection to Hawaii here on the call. So thanks for that. And if there's more that you wanted to say, but I just wanted to say I found some of these references that you mentioned. So you can get this on Kindle, Adam Rutherford's book that Runa mentioned, Iceland's Great Inheritance, I think.
Yeah, that's the name. Yeah.
And then Rory Duff has published a number of books. People wanted to kind of tap into what Runa was mentioning. The one I found was A Guide to Ley Lines, Earth Energy Lines, Nodes, and Larger Vortices. That sounds appropriate for a trip. And then the Poetic Edda, I think, is what you're referring to. I just put a
Wikipedia. Poetic Edda. Edda. The interesting thing, Rory is probably going to come to Iceland in end August or beginning September. Here we're going to check out the Lemurian place, and we're going to go to Hofsjökull, of course.
Oh, great, great.
Because he's been mapping Iceland, although he's not been here, because he uses a sense of dowsing things for that.
Right, that's great. Yeah, and if people want, I know like Aruna was pulled out a lot of her dowsing instruments. And so people wanted to bring, if you've been trained or with dowsing or pendulums, a great place to practice and another way to connect with the land energies, and we can learn some methods like with the, you know, your energy body to do that, and kind of also to absorb and bless these energies, these kind of chi or prana energies that are so vital here. Great. And I put a link to the Blue Lagoon, like Runa said. Maybe right now it's not open, but it's kind of more, we'll be going to a lot of different springs and water sources. That's just a popular one that's in Reykjavik or nearby. And we went there just to kind of kick off last year's tour, which was loads of fun for people who were there. And then, you know, they have a very nice restaurant there. But you can check out the link just to kind of get into the spirit.
I'll keep you posted. What they've been doing is they're opening, and then there was a huge earthquake and everyone had to be evacuated because they have a hotel there as well. But when we go into the interior to Hofsjökull, there's a beautiful, you know, relatively recently built hotel there. And that has, you know, there's geothermal energy there. So we'll be able to stay in the jacuzzi there and also at Gacy. So, you know, we're in the water. The water is pretty similar everywhere. It's the surroundings that are different.
Yeah, and for many people know this, but that's just the best way to also connect energetically. These codes are in the water,
Oh,
and
definitely.
we're exchanging our codes from wherever you are, and is the most direct is through the water. So it's great to be able to connect in the waterway. But maybe we had another question here with Penny.
Oh, hey, thanks,
Hey.
Gene. Thanks, Pedro. I just had a question, you just because you just mentioned it again, and it did pique my interest. You mentioned this, the Lemurian Temple. Did you say that was the northwest, and will we be
In the
going anywhere
northwest,
after that?
yeah, it's in the area we call the West Fjords, which is kind of like if you look at the map of Iceland, and it's in the west, and it's we call it the head of the country, so to speak.
The head of the country. Okay,
Yeah, it's kind of like
that's
it forms
hilarious.
in, yeah. There is a Lemurian, yeah, but it's underwater. But
It's
there
underwater.
is, yeah, it's just off the coast.
Okay, and so do you, if you feel like you're saying you're going to check this out, there's not been much sort of much public, like people haven't really been talking about
No,
it much to this
this
point.
is just one woman that discovered this when she was there in her meditation, and she's been there several times. She's very, very intuitive. So I'm going there probably end May with her and a group of other women who might be interested in a tour. And well, I'm going to go check it out. So basically it's kind of like a pre-run before I bring Rory there. But he's super
Okay.
interested because he believes when I told him about this site, he got very excited because he had found a ley line running out there, and then he thought, oh well, there's probably nothing there. And so he was so excited when I told him about this because he'd kind of given up chasing whatever might be there.
So he knew, yeah, he could fit. There's something out there.
Yeah,
It's got to
so
be.
when I told him, he got very excited. So, and that's the reason why he wants to come to Iceland. Plus
Oh
the other,
wow.
plus the visiting the Hofsjökull area.
Beautiful. And so as you say, it's underwater, you mean, so it's just off the land, off the.
Just off the coast there. Yeah.
That
Oh,
the
beautiful.
West
I'd love to hear
Fjords?
more about that. Yeah, when you, yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. We need to do a Lemurian tour.
Yeah, feel it.
Did you say that was in the West Fjords, the Lemurian
The
underground?
West Fjords. Yeah, it's up in the West Fjords.
Oh, okay. So if people weren't aware of that, I just put these little like
Yeah.
links to,
Yeah.
yeah, that's great. Okay.
It's I can actually write down the name of the place, and that I can put that in the chat if you
Okay.
want to look it up in.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if people were like interested in some other areas we're not going, people had like kind of planned either came earlier or later and then went to
Yeah.
these other locations, because it's all doable. It's kind of
More or less, but you
yeah,
know,
more.
if you drive to the West Fjords from Reykjavik, you know, my brother lives on the southernmost fjord there, and it's usually a 5.5 hour drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's a day, it takes you a day to get there. And then if you want to explore the area, and then a day to get back. People could, however, go to Snæfellsnes. That's easy. Where Snæfellsjökull is, because that only takes about the 2 hour, you know, driving straight, 2 hours, 15 minutes from Reykjavik. So that could be a day trip for people if they want to come there first. Then Snæfellsjökull is the heart center or the heart chakra of the yeah, this is Kirkjufell in Grundarfjörður on
The background, is it correct?
on the north side of the Snæfellsnes Peninsula, and the glacier is towards the very tip there. And some pretty, you know, magnificent sites there as well. So that's very doable in one day. And the other part is, like, we were, you came here in, I think, April last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there wasn't as much daylight as we'll have now. And of course, it's going to be warmer because we were pretty dressed, well-dressed on many occasions. And there's always the opportunity if we're in different, you know, if you have a backpack or something, you just put it in, you know, a windbreaker or trousers to go over the ones you're wearing, or a windbreaker jacket, but you need to wear something warm underneath. And as I say, it's always about layers in Iceland, and it's easier to take things off than not to have something extra to put on.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to see if you find Snæfellsjökull in your...
Oh, I put that. Is this, I think this is a photo of Hofjökull. Is that correct?
That might be.
Okay. We'll kind of do our our distance meditation connecting to.
Yeah. Is this the one I sent you this summer?
I think I might have. It might be. Yes. Yes.
Or you might have found it online. Yeah.
Yeah, I might have found it online. That's the one.
It's interesting because it's kind of like shaped a little bit like a dome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are stories about there being actually a dome underneath.
Hmm.
And there have been several men who've been on expeditions again and again through, I think, 7 or 8 years to look for the Holy Grail.
Oh, wow.
In that location. Mm-hmm. And then there's the connection with Isis. So there is definitely, you know, traveling on the inner planes, there is a dome there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's under the ice cap. Nice. And the Isis story is connected to, we could say, the myth that it used to be called Isis land,
mm-hmm.
not Iceland. So we'll see if we meet Isis or, you know, I think it's that there is goddess energy there, but also there is this dragon energy there, and some guardian for the glacier is definitely female, and female energy is coming up so strong now, as we are, especially now after the eclipse. So I think we're at a pivotal point in this work, and this is what I've been guided to ask you to do on the trip. And that's why what the trip is focused about. And I believe this is, it's part of the great inheritance of Iceland, with the connection to the Giza pyramids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
So we're going to be floating in other dimensions.
We won't need the bus.
No, we'll zoom through the land or above the land. Yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, why don't we try to experience some of the energies that we'll be connecting to here. And the background here is Hofjökull that we had been talking about. And, you know, when we do this kind of short meditation to bless the earth, you can bless, you know, Iceland and move it out to the entire planet, or bless the planet. We'll be sort of, you could imagine us all in a circle, you know, and anywhere you can project into the photo. And then, of course, that's your energy and astral body will be there. And then we're going to make a circle there. And then, I'll just guide the short meditation. And the intention is to bring the light and energy to activate any of the beginning, the activation of the points that Runa mentioned, whether, you know, you're physically go on the trip or not. And also in some ways, we're kind of introducing ourselves to the spirits of the land, you know. And I'm sure they've already, like Runa was saying, very happy that we acknowledge their existence now in sort of this fairly physically focused kind of modern world, where we may not as acknowledge the spiritual world as much. Not, of course, in this group, but just in general with modern life. Okay, why don't we do a short, like, pillar meditation. All right, and if you want, you can sort of just start tuning in or collecting your consciousness inwards. Can place ourselves inside the photo as if you're there energetically. We've created a group circle. There's also people who are listening to the recording, probably even more than maybe here on the live call. So you can include them too. Just imagine your body is like a pillar of light. It's going infinitely upwards and downwards into the ground, particularly down into the ground, as the blessings into the grid will occur through your feet and your lower pillar. And the access to the divine energies will be through your upper pillar. And then your body's energy pillar is like the bridge. Then, if you like, you can see all of us in the circle as one big pillar of light. So, we'll start with a short invocation to the Divine Supreme God, Divine Father, Divine Mother, to all our spiritual guides and teachers, to the beautiful land spirits, the dwarves, the elves, the spirits of nature, both in Iceland and around the planet, particularly where you live right now, to the spirits of the elements, the earth, water, fire, air, and space elements, to your holy guardian angel, the archangels, all the angels, healing angels, and to your higher soul. We thank you for your great, great blessings. You slightly tune in above your head now, you may feel actually a current of energy, the blessing energies from the divine and the beings we just called on, almost like a electrical current is turned on, is flowing above your head. Can imagine it also flowing through the great pillar that we created. It's now coming down to rest at the center of your head. Acknowledging that we're beings of great divine light. You may feel the energy already coursing out of your hands. And if you wanted to put your hands in the blessing position to release that energy, you can put them in front of you as if you're blessing something in front of you and allow the current to go to the earth or to Iceland or to where you live. But focusing again on your pillar inside your body, this divine electrical current is flowing down to your throat center, empowering your voice, your higher creativity. And the divine electrical current is coming now to your heart center. You can feel the intensification of the flow out of your hands and continuing to bless the earth that's in front of your hands. The divine blessings, as were the channel, you just let it flow, continues down your pillar, down to your belly center, about 4 finger widths below your navel. It's filling you with this divine prana, divine energies. Like you can continue to let the electrical flow come out of your hands to bless the earth or different places on the earth or people, beings that need this energy. It can be seen as gold or white divine light. You might feel the energy now also exiting the soles of your feet. And you can project them 10 meters or 30 feet into the ground to bless the earth. And from the belly center, you can project this divine light down your lower pillar into the earth, connecting to all the earth grids, ley lines. It distributes the power in your area and across the entire globe or grid, and blessing the earth. We feel a very strong connection to Iceland and the spirits of Iceland, to the spirits in your location who take care of the land. And the spirits and guardians of the planet. And they're happy, or you can feel them happy that we're part of their team, helping the planet. If you like, you can put your hands down now in your lap. And just bring your awareness to about 1 foot or 30 centimeters above your head. You can imagine it as a brilliant star or a flame above your head. Just recognizing you're connecting back to your soul's energy, your higher soul, to your incarnational plan. And that completes the blessing of the planet with the help of the higher beings. Before we return to our physical body, we say a thanksgiving to the Divine Supreme God, Divine Father, Divine Mother, to all our spiritual guides and teachers, to the spirits of the land, both where you live and in Iceland, the elves, the dwarves, spirits of nature. We thank the five elements spirits, earth, water, fire, air, and space, particularly the ones that are making up our physical vehicle, giving us health and happiness in this incarnation. We thank the angels, the archangels, our holy guardian angel, and our higher self or soul. Thank you for your great, great blessings and healing. You can gently bring your awareness back into your physical body. Moving your fingers and your toes. Coming completely back to your physical body. Particularly if you saw yourself in the photo, your astral body is there. Just make sure you see yourself actually return and re-enter your physical body so that you're completely grounded and collected. When you feel comfortable, you can open your eyes and snap your fingers. Okay.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh,
and I just want to say that I can write down a couple of places for people to visit on a day tour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put, Gina asked for the name of the place for a day tour. If you rent a car, it's easy for you to go out there. Unfortunately, buses don't run at such frequent intervals that you can go and enjoy the area. But there are a couple of places that, like the beach we went to and the Lontronkar situation or crater plugs that we went to, that they might want to visit. So I can put that in as a kind of like a small itinerary.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah. So you can send it out to the group.
Great.
Okay. Yeah. Just send it to me and I'll send that out in an email to the people who signed up.
Very well. Yeah. I think that would be the best.
Okay. Great.
When Natasha was here, I wasn't quite sure if it was the Natasha that was on the tour last year or not. So I don't know if she's still on, but hi to her.
She's she here. Is.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She's... yeah. Hi. So it's like, yeah. Anyway, I just hope I'll meet many of you on this tour. I am so excited about it. I keep getting more and more confirmation about what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm sure that we will be able to do great things. We're open. We're part of the change that the world is going through.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right. Yeah. If there's any last questions, anyone wanted to ask anything, feel free as we wrap up here. But first, wanted to thank Runa for giving us that great presentation of Iceland, making that connection, making being the opening, the guardian, the bridge. They call it the Chakaruna in Peruvian shamanism. They call it the bridge person from the spiritual world to the physical world. And thank everyone here for coming and also blessing and contributing to the blessing of the planet. And I hope you enjoyed it and found something useful in today's talk. All right, I'll send out this recording and it'll also be posted on the Arcturian podcast in case you wanted to re-listen to any of it. All right,
thank you
so much. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. See you soon.
Have a good travel.
Thanks. Thank you.